today we're just going to have a general shir about the mitzvah of tefillin. I'm giving out, you can pass out some Marim Makomos for tonight's shir on the mitzvah of tefillin. This summer, as I think we've made clear, we're going to be learning those sugyas in Maseches Menachos that relate to tefillin, and there are a lot of really fascinating sugyas. Tonight is just going to be more of a broad topic that relates to tefillin in general. Sorry? 9:30 Marib, yeah. I just want to apologize in advance that tomorrow, I just found out about an hour ago that, or a little more than an hour and a half ago, that I have to go back to New York for a Levaya tomorrow. So I'm going to be missing a lot, but we are filling in the slots with different. One of the great things about being in Camp Cayley is that there are a lot of really wonderful people, so you're actually going to be upgraded to genuine Talmidei Chacham for tomorrow. You'll have Rabbi Marcus and Rabbi Rosner will give shiurim, and then I'll try to give the first Iyun shiur at night when I get back, assuming that the 4th of July traffic doesn't keep me there through Shabbos on the road. Hopefully I'll be back by tomorrow night, and we'll be able to have our first shiur then, our first regular shiur then. Anything to add to it? Any more makoros? Are there any extras floating around? Did I not make enough copies? Sorry about that. Oh, they all landed there. Oh, look at that. Okay. Avram only needs one. Okay. All right. So tonight, what I want to talk about is, well, let's give a little bit of background. I had a Talmud a number of years ago who learned in a yeshiva you're probably familiar with, Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh, in the old city of Yerushalayim. And he came back, I think it was Pesach of his Shana Aleph, when he came back and he told his mom that for his birthday he would like a second pair of tefillin. And his mom said, "What's wrong with your first pair of tefillin?" And he said, "Well, they're too large. It's difficult to wear them at mincha. Wear them all day as I plan on wearing them." And she said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, in the old city, you know, the real Jews wear tefillin all day, so I want to do that also." And she thought to herself and said, "Well, wait a second. The three people that came to mind that she knew of as being genuine, real, serious Jews were Rav Soloveitchik, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rav Moshe Feinstein." She said, "I don't think any of them wore tefillin all day." He said, yeah, but I asked Rav Nevensal, he said I should do it, so I'm going to, at least for Mincha, so I'm going to be wearing tefillin, all day, you know, at least for Mincha. So she went on, this is an actual true story, she went on YU Torah, and there's an Ask the Speaker button on YU Torah. It works, I get emails through it all the time. And she just went on some random shiur from Rav Schechter on Bav Metzia or something, like whatever. And she just she clicked Ask the Speaker, and she sent an email. "My crazy son decided that he wants to wear tefillin all day and wants to wear tefillin at Mincha. Well, is this really a thing? Is this something that I should go with or not?" And the next day, she actually got a handwritten tshuva from Rav Schechter explaining why her son should not wear tefillin at Mincha or all day. So I want to just discuss, why not? Meaning, what does the Torah say about the mitzvah of tefillin? Where is it in the Torah that we have a mitzvah to wear tefillin? Or what are the words in the Torah? Where do we have? Someone knows the right, we have to have something on our hand and on our and beinenecha, which Chazal understand to mean not literally beinenein. That's how the Karaites would wear tefillin. We wear tefillin on the gova shel rosh. But okay, so we have a mitzvah to wear tefillin. Does the Torah tell us how often to wear tefillin? It never says. It never says how often to wear tefillin. What other mitzvahs in the Torah does the Torah not tell? Now matzah, the Torah tells us exactly how often to eat matzah. It's somewhat confusing because it says the first night, it says all 7 days. Okay, but there's some mitzvah of matzah that we know is limited to Pesach. Sukkah, I know that I'm supposed to sit in Sukkah for 7 days. And if I'm in Chutz La'aretz, it's 8 days. Okay, but I get the basic idea. The Torah never tells us how often to wear tefillin. So what exactly is the mitzvah d'oraisa? Meaning maybe this guy has a very good point that there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin always. Always. You always have to wear tefillin, because the Torah says that it should always be beinenecha. So I'm always supposed to have tefillin. Is that a compelling argument? I mean, is there any reason to assume not that way? What do we normally assume? What is the mitzvah of tefillin? How often do you normally assume the mitzvah of tefillin is? What? You assume all day. Okay, can we get another opinion? Shraga guy maybe? What? Shachris, right? We assume that we wear it once a day at Shachris. That we wear tefillin once a day at Shachris. So why do we assume once a day? Because the Torah doesn't tell us anything. So we assume once a day. It must be that it's once a day. Where does that come from? Is that true? So the Bir Halacha in Siman Lamed Zayin, the first source in the Packer over here, discusses this very issue. He writes, Ayin Prima Gadim, Shemistapik im minat Torah chayev kol hayom, o minat Torah dai berega echad. Now interesting, he says, what's the mitzvah daraisa? I could think of two possibilities Prima Gadim has. Either all day long, you have to wear it all the time, or dai berega echad. Nothing about Shachris. Why nothing about Shachris? Because the Torah makes no indication whatsoever that tefillin is specifically supposed to be worn during a zman of tefillah. It has nothing to do with tefillah. In fact, tefillah may or may not be a mitzvah d'oraisa b'chol yom. That is a machlokas. Who's familiar? Machlokas. Rambam Ramban, whether there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven each and every day, or only to daven be'es tzara. That was one of the more famous varts that Rav Soloveitchik said over, that everyone likes to say over in the same, Rabbi Ganak loves to say over from Rav Soloveitchik, that really fundamentally they agree that the mitzvah of tefillah is only be'es tzara. But they argue about what the definition of an es tzara is. Is an es tzara only what seems like an es tzara? Or do we have to live with the constant recognition that every day, every moment is an es tzara? That every single day, if not for the grace of God, I wouldn't have oxygen to breathe, I wouldn't have food to eat, and it could all change in an instant. And therefore, every day becomes an es tzara. Okay, machlokas. Machlokas, we showed him whether there even is a mitzvah to daven each and every day. So it's hard to say that the mitzvah of tefillin is in any way connected to the mitzvah of tefillah. And it doesn't sound that way from the Chumash. The mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah. You have to wear tefillin. How often? I don't know. Says the Prima Gadim, it's either all day or it's one moment a day. Umidrabanan kol hayom. Then midrabban, if it's one moment a day, then midrabbanan, the Rabbanan added the all-day thing. Because it's clear in Chazal that all-day was the zman of tefillin, that they used to wear tefillin all day, so that must have been a din drabbanan. How did we get to what we do now, where we're not going to work wearing tefillin, we're not wearing, most of us aren't wearing tefillin at Mincha, we're not wearing tefillin around the old city as we walk around, right? How do we get to that? Ubitlua achshav she'in lanu guf naki. Nowadays we're mevatel this because we no longer have a guf naki. We're no longer able to maintain the proper kedusha that tefillin warrants, and therefore we can't wear tefillin all day. Now, just in terms of a moment on what that term even means, what does it mean not to have a guf naki? So this is its own discussion in the Achronim. Does on the very basic level, it means to have control of our faculties, meaning that if a person is unable to control whether he's going to the bathroom, whether he's passing gas, anything like that, that certainly is unbecoming to wear tefillin if a person doesn't have basic control of his faculties. When that whole scandal broke about the girls in the yeshiva high school wearing tefillin, that whole thing, so I gave a shiur on it, and someone, I got a call from an OBGYN, and she said, it's so poshut why women don't wear tefillin. She said, it's my business. I'm telling you, they can't keep a guf naki. There are all sorts of secretions that come out of women's bodies that they have no control over. That's a davar pashut why women don't wear tefillin. She said, why didn't you say that? I'm like, you could say that. I don't know. It would sound a little funny if a guy. But that's one level of guf naki. Guf naki might also have something to do with a state of mind, with whether we keep the proper seriousness of mind, and we're not thinking about inappropriate things. That also might relate to guf naki, because there's nisul ha'siach dato, there's nisul to have kalas rosh in tefillin, to have hesach hadas in tefillin. The Rush in Menachos here, in Hilchos Tefillin, writes that only kalas rosh is considered a hesach hadas. The Shulchan Aruch sounds like as long as you don't pass gas or sleep in your tefillin, you haven't had a hesach hadas. Others understand that even speaking sichas chulin, even just having regular conversations, that's a violation of Hesach Hadas in your tefillin. So there's a broad spectrum of what exactly is required when you wear tefillin, but whatever it is, we don't have it. Or we lack the confidence that we'd be able to last all day with that madrega, and therefore we cut back on the amount of time we wear tefillin. So when do we wear tefillin? During the period of time that we have a certain degree of confidence. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch says this in Siman Lamed Zayin, I think Siv Beis or Gimel. Shulchan Aruch writes that really the mitzvah of tefillin is all day long, but we've cut back. And the reason we've cut back, I don't think I put it in the Mar Makomos, but the Shulchan Aruch writes that mitzvah, it's Siv Beis and Siman Lamed Zayin, but it's not about mitzvah son liyosim alav kala yom, yishavim all day, because one is not allowed to pass gas and one is not allowed to have a hasachadas, and we can't be so careful. So we were careful, so we're knowing not to wear them all day. But at least we keep it on for Kriya Shema Tefillah. Now why, of all times during the day, why not keep it on for, I don't know, the last hour of my work day? Why is it Dafka Kriya Shema Tefillah at the time of Kriya Shema Tefillah? That's when we mentioned it makes sense. For Kriya Shema, certainly it makes sense. There's definitely an inherent connection between Kriya Shema and Tefillin. The Gemara says, someone says Kriya Shema without Tefillin is Meir Edul Sheker Al Atzmo, as if he's testifying falsely about himself. Why Tefillah? Why Tefillah?
Very serious time.
Oh, it's a very serious time. That's the time where we're most likely to be able to keep a gufnaki, not have a hesachadas, keep the proper frame of mind. Great. So that makes perfect sense. So to quickly review, Torah doesn't tell us how long or how often we're supposed to wear tefillin. Prima Gadim is not sure, is it really midoraisa that it's all day? Or midoraisa it's only a single minute, midorabanan it's all day. In either case, we pulled it back a lot, because we're concerned about Hesachadas and Gufnaki. Simple question. If it's a Chiyuv Daraisa to wear it all day, let's assume like that said, that there's a Chiyuv Daraisa to wear it all day. Is the concern of Hesachadas enough of a concern to be Mevatel a Mitzvah Daraisa for every second of every day? How long is Shacharis? I don't know, 35 minutes if you're in typical shul and the davening is whatever, 28 minutes, and you show up 6 minutes late, you leave 4 minutes early, so you're wearing tefillin for 18 minutes. You have the amount that you can't make chametz in the amount of time that you're wearing tefillin, and the entire rest of the day we're being mevatel mitzvah to say daraisa. Why? Because you might pass gas and not realize in time to move your tefillin out of the way. Is that enough of a reason to be mevatel of a chiyuv d'oraisa? It should take a little more, shouldn't it? To be mevatel an actual, genuine chiyuv d'oraisa? And it's true. Yesh kach b'yar cham, the Gemara says, Masech Sivamus, the cham have the right, lakar dovim ratar b'shevi al taseh, to tell us not to do a mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? They certainly have that right, as long as it's B'shevi al taseh, it's not b'kumvaz. They do not have the right to tell me to eat a cheeseburger, but they do have the right to tell me, don't blow shofar this year because Rosh Hashanah is falling on Shabbos, let's say, or something like that. They have the right to tell me not to do mitzvah d'oraisa. But absent from all of Shas is any formal takana where the Rabbanan said, you know what, don't wear tefillin. We don't have it anywhere. We have it by shofar on Shabbos. We have it by lulav on Shabbos. We have it by lots of things where the Chacham actually were oker davar min haTorah. It doesn't say anywhere in Shas that the Chachamim at some point got together and they had a vote and they said, you know what? Have you been to the Beis Medrash? It stinks. Everyone's passing gas and they're like pointing at the other guy, like, how could you? But it's really them. It's just terrible. It's like, you know, we can't wear tefillin all day. Let's take a vote. Should we wear tefillin all day or not? You know, yay, nay, and whatever. We don't have that anywhere in Shas. No such vote, no such takana, no such anything. So where does this come from? Shulchan Aruch says, oh, so we have a minhag not to do a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's a great idea. A minhag not to do a mitzvah d'oraisa. What other mitzvah d'oraisa are we going to have a minhag not to do? Me'echitesi. Yeah. So that's what it's going to boil down to. We're going to have to figure out, maybe, I'm asking on the Shita that the Prima Gadim suggests, that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa kol hayom. Now, we may have to pull that back and say that that may not be the case, that it's a formal chiyuv d'oraisa kol hayom, and we just decided not to do it, because that's very hard to accept. So maybe there's some other model. When the Torah doesn't give us man, it doesn't give, just says do it, so what exactly does the Torah expect of us?
If the Prima Gadim is suggesting that it's a mitzvah kol hayom, then why isn't it clear then that he's not choshesh with his bows? Because, meaning, why would he be choshesh later for Guf Naki if probably the same problem then also.
So that's also another excellent question. At some point in history, people didn't pass gas. People had such powers of concentration that there was never a hadas. I mean, what changed? Why would that have changed over time? That's also an excellent point. Right? It's a strong kash on the Prima Gadim. And on everyone, really, because Shulchan Aruch says that really the mitzvah is kol hayom. No, our minhag is not to, because, you know, we don't trust that people... You know, it's like when people talk about Europe, that everyone was learning all day and all night. There was never a time in history where that was actually happening, where people were learning all day and all night, and it was the whole world. There was, you know, like in pre-war Europe, there was like one guy, one genius from each community that went off to a yeshiva. That's why everyone in the big yeshivas was called by the city they came from, because it's a one person. Everyone else was in a sweatshop by the age of 15 working. You know, it's we're going to imagine that 2,000 years ago, people were these superhumans, and they had such a gufnaki. Hard to imagine. What really actually changed?
In terms of, like, instead of thinking about it as, like, just because it's the possibility, it's like just for the possibility that, I think you said it more fundamentally, that like, the fact that there is that possibility is what, I guess, prohibits or prevents you from actually performing the mitzvah. I mean, the possibility itself, not whether or not it happens, but just the mere possibility of it happening, that's the issue.
But is that enough? The mere possibility of it happening is enough to be mivatel mitzvah d'oraisa?
If that's what the part of tefillin is some sort of das or something like that.
I don't know. It's hard to imagine. If every second I'm getting a mitzvah d'oraisa, and 1 second out of, let's say, the hour, I will be doing something. What?
You're not in a state where you're fulfilling the mitzvah.
Of course you are.
No, you're in a state. You can say that you're in a state where you might have, you know, you might, you know.
Whenever you might?
Yeah.
That it's omid liz, kid. I don't know. That's hard to say. That's very hard to say. That there's no mitzvah. What? And that right. That we go back to that question as well. Magen Avraham writes in Siman Lamed Zayin. I don't have it in the Maror Mekomos. See, the Magen Avraham writes that based on the Rabbeinu Yeruchim quoted by Beis Yosef, that even if you know you can keep a gufnaki, even if you know you can, don't wear tefillin all day. Mipnei haramaim. What does that mean, mipnei haramaim? Because there are these guys that like to look holy and convince people that they're super holy Jews, and then they get you to trust them, and then they do all sorts of terrible things to people. And we don't want to encourage that kind of behavior. So even if you actually are one of those super holy Jews, don't wear tefillin all day. That's what the Magen Avraham says. This is just getting even wilder now. I'm a person who knows that I'm going to be able to fulfill tefillin, let's say, that I know I can fulfill tefillin without a problem of hesek hadas, without a problem of gufnaki, and it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. But because there's some clown who calls himself a mekubal or something and goes around and he, you know, like Rosh Sternbach writes in his shuvas, the mekubalim that go around taking money from me, they should call themselves mekablim, not mekubalim, because that's why they're mekabal people's money. So Rav Yaakov Hillel likes to quote that from Rosh Sternbach. He's like the most down-to-earth mekubal you'll ever meet. He's, you know, he's not into all these mekubalim, even though he's like the world's biggest mekubal right now. But so the idea, because there might be some guy who's gonna have some shtick where he's gonna be able to trick people. So I should forego a mitzvah d'oraisa all day, every day. Very, very difficult to understand. Now, if you say like the other side of the Prima Gadim, that it's once a day. Minat Torah, Rega Echad, where does that come from? Right, we just attacked one possibility. It's hard to say that the mitzvah is all day, because how can we ignore the mitzvah? Okay, so maybe let's go to the other extreme. It's Rega Echad, it's one moment a day. You know, people say, I never missed a day of tefillin, and that's like a maila. Why? Because the mitzvah is once a day, Rega Echad, every day. Where does that come from?
If you do it for just an hour, is that considered being Minat Torah? Meaning, if according to the other approach, the approach we just mentioned.
According to the first one, that it's a mitzvah all day.
Yeah.
So you got that mitzvah for that hour. And then you didn't get the mitzvah beyond that. I mean, it's like if you sit in sukkah for a little bit. You know, you don't really have a sukkah. You go to your friend's house and you have one lunch in the sukkah. So you got the mitzvah for that one lunch in the sukkah, but you really didn't do your job, because the mitzvah is the sukkah station. You're supposed to live in the sukkah for 7 days. So if you say that it's once a day, that it's a rega echad, the other side of the prima gadim, it's also difficult to understand, because the Torah doesn't give a specific time. If the Torah doesn't give a specific time, what would lead us to believe that it's every day? In the Lechem Mishnah, actually, before we get to Lechem, where else do we have the Torah gives us a mitzvah and doesn't tell us how often to do it? So another good example is tefillah. We mentioned this before. The Rambam, in the very first halach in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, source number 2, mitzvah saseh lispalel b'chol yom, says the Rambam. It's a mitzvah daraisa to daven every day. How do I know that? Shenemar v'avadim es Hashem elokeichem. What's the end of the pasuk? B'chol yom? No. Doesn't say anywhere b'chol yom. Just says v'avadim es Hashem elokeichem. You should serve God. Ezu avoda shebelev. How do we do avoda in our lave? Zu tefillah. That's through tefillah. So you should daven. Where did the Rambam get b'chol yom from? So again, here's another mitzvah. The Torah says to do it, doesn't say how often to do it. And the Rambam says, it must be every day. Mistami, he doesn't mean all day, right? How do I know he doesn't mean all day? Right, you're supposed to do other things also. You're supposed to learn and work and sleep and eat, and like, it would be impossible. The Gemara has an expression, halavai sheis valadim kol hayom, but it doesn't really mean it. Meaning, it doesn't really mean halavai that a person would daven all day. It means you could daven a longer davening. But daven all day is ridiculous. It wouldn't mean that, it can't mean that. So it's to daven once a day. Where does the Rambam get it from? So it says Lech Mishnah, there's a Kiryas Sefer that explains that avoda vavadem es Hashem, I mean avoda letzvila, and then ube Sefer dekrom ervechas lachmecha vesmimecha. The Torah talks about the blessings of bread and water, and how often do you eat? Every day. A drasha, says the Kiryas Sefer. If you eat every day, and the same pasuk talks about eating, talks about davening, you daven every day. Any problems with that? How often do you eat?
Sporadically,
right? In the times of Chazal, what was the assumption? 2 meals a day, right? Bread and water, 2 meals a day. Nowadays, Americans like to eat 3 meals a day. Okay, that's why we have an obesity problem in America, I guess. But it used to be 2 meals a day was the understanding. Where does once a day come from? Also, you know, it's a very nice drasha. It's just that, like, we're not really in the business of making halachic drashos. We sort of stopped doing that after the time of Chazal. And Chazal never made this beautiful drasha of lechem and mayim. Okay, so now we could do davening is just like lechem and mayim, so it's once a day. It's beautiful. It's just, it's a nice part of Torah. But a halachic drasha, we're going to make halachic drashos. Chazal aren't here anymore. Kiryas Sefer doesn't have the right to come and make halachic drasha. Another example where the Rambam also assumes it's every single day. The Rambam talks in Birchas Kohanim. I didn't put in the sheets either, but he says the mitzvah is to be mevarech for the Kohanim, to be mevarech b'chol yom. Mevarech is Yisrael b'chol yom. Torah never says how often they have to be mevarech is Yisrael, how often Birchas Kohanim has to be done. Happens to be in Chutz Laretz we do it a lot less than Kol Yom. That's all another topic. Why do we do it a lot less than Kol Yom? The real chiyuv is Kol Yom, but it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. Where does that come from? So the Kiryas Sefer has his own drush over there as well. Hu uvan of Kol Hayamim. Okay. Again, very difficult to make your own drushes. And another place. Well, not another place, but the Kesef Mishnah suggests, in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, we're not going to read inside, but the Kesef Mishnah suggests that we daven once a day because without a set amount of time, one could have interpreted to daven once in your entire life. Torah didn't say. So we have to figure out our possibilities. Torah says daven. So you could have said, okay, so before you die, make sure you daven at some point. So if you plan on living, you know, 120 years, when you're 119, make sure you get around to it. Go daven. Says the Kesef Mishnah, that's inconceivable. Why is that inconceivable? We just have that once in our life. You know, put it on your bucket list. You know, you'll go to the Final Four, you'll whatever, and you'll daven once. Why is that inconceivable? What? Well, certainly you never know. So maybe get it done early. Like, you know, right at your bar mitzvah, it'll be a perfect time, and then you'll be pater for the rest of your life. That's there are some Jews that live like that, right? They study for their bar mitzvah, they get prepared, and then that's the last time they ever see the inside of a synagogue. But that's not right. Probably it's inconceivable because davening is the way we relate to God. And a person has to believe in God. Rav Moshe writes this in a tshuva, an unbelievable point Rav Moshe makes in a tshuva, where he talks about, does a guy have to daven? Is there a chiv of a guy to daven Be'ez Tzara? So whenever you talk about a guy doing anything, where do you look to see if a guy is chayiv or not? You look, is it on the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, right? Is it one of the seven? And davening is not one of the seven. Says Rav Moshe, but a guy is mechuyev to daven. How do I know that, he says? Because a guy has to believe in God. And how is it possible that a person has emunah if he can't communicate with God? So it has to be that there's an ongoing communication with God. It's impossible. A person cannot live a Jewish life without communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without tefillah. You have to. Even a guy has to. It's phenomenal. In his tshuva about prayer in public schools, whether a Jew is allowed to participate, he mentions this. That a guy is also mechuyev to daven, so you're participating in a mitzvah when you're davening together with the guy. Based tefillah hilachal amim, you're allowed to daven with guy. Nothing wrong, as long as they're not davening to Nefel Dezara, as long as they're davening to God. So, but where was I? Yeah, so it can't be that there's a mitzvah of tefillah once in your whole life. It can't be that there's a mitzvah of tefillah all day. Okay, so that's what Kesef Mishnah says. So it must be that it's once a day. That's where the Rambam got that it's mitzvah of tefillah once a day. But by Birch's Kohanim, you don't have that same svara. So it's difficult to understand where we get this idea of once a day for tefillin and once a day for tefillah. Where do we get this idea? So Avraham mentioned before that maybe it's similar to Talmud Torah. Maybe it's similar to Talmud Torah. Now, the problem with saying maybe it's similar to Talmud Torah is that you have to know how often they have to learn Torah. I mean, then you have to open up a whole nother sugya and figure out, okay, what's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So what do you need to do in order to be a kind of mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Once a day? All day? What do you need? Machlokas what? Psukim? Lo yamush, right? The Torah can't leave your lips.
Morning and night.
The Gemara Menachos darshens from the pasuk that kivin shkaradim kriyas shema shachris va'arvis. He is yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah because he said kriyas shema shachris and arvis. So you have all these different possibilities. Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher in Sefer Shmos Simin Chav Dalet Os Beis suggests v'nira de mitzvah tefillin eina mugderes klal bezman musuyam. He says I don't think there is a specific zman for the mitzvah tefillin. Here it is. Umitzvasa sheyishtadel ha'adam kikol shebiyado sheyu ha'tfilin alav. The mitzvah is try your best to have tefillin on. Is there a chiyuv to have it on all day? No. Is there a chiyuv to have it on once a day? No. The chiyuv is do your best to have a relationship with your tefillin, to have an ongoing a feeling that you want to have tefillin. Uke'ein mitzvah Talmud Torah. Just like Talmud Torah. Wait, you're going to say it's a mitzvah to learn all day long, so if I go and I work for a living and I don't learn all day long, I'm not being a kind of mitzvah Talmud Torah, I might as well quit. That's it, I'm done, I don't need this. That's hard to imagine. No, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is, Echer amar b'vecher amamin, l'vachi chavin libel l'shamayim, you learn as much as you can, and you should try to learn as much as you possibly can. And for different people, it's different. As Shulchan Aruch Rav writes, I think, the Or Sameach writes on the Rambam that in Talmud Torah there are some people that have more of an ability to sit b'hasmada for hours and hours and hours, and some people have less of an ability. Each person is expected to do what they're expected to do. Our problem is we underrate our own abilities. We assume that we're capable of less than we are. But the mitzvah is to do our best. He says that's the mitzvah of tefillin. That's what he suggests. Where does he get this from? So he suggests that you can derive this from how the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of tefillin. If you look at the Rambam in source number 5, see if you notice any abnormalities in this Rambam. Kedushas tefillin, kedushasa gedolahi. First of all, the Rambam says, tefillin's a big deal. Very, very holy items, tefillin. Right, nowadays, when a bar mitzvah boy gets tefillin, he also gets the special bag that his mother or grandmother, knitted for him or something. And he knows he can lose his tefillin, but don't you ever lose that bag. But the Rambam says, no, the tefillin are actually very kadosh. The Rambam are actually extremely holy. Shekol zman sha tefillin barosho shel adam ve'al zro'o. So long as tefillin are on a person's head and arm, hu anav v'yirei shamayim. It's like he transforms into this humble fearer of heaven. Ve'eino nimshach l'schok. And he's not going to be drawn into inappropriate type of behavior. U'besicha b'teilo, or inappropriate type of conversation. Not only that, ve'eino maharer machshavos ra'os. He's not going to think bad thoughts. There's a type of he's only going to be thinking about things that are true and righteous and good. It's almost like, does anything strike you as strange about that comment?
Yeah, we said that the whole problem the Kibbutz Adam had with wearing tefillin all day was, is the Rabbi has a chadas, but the Rambam says that by putting on tefillin.
Right, the Rambam says, I have a way to solve your has a chadas problem. Put on tefillin and you won't have a has a chadas. Just put them on, it saves you from everything. It's magical. You put them on, you become your biggest balgavi before you put them on. You put them on, you become an anav and you're a shabayim, and you're not going to have hezekadas, you're not going to have bad conversation. It's going to be unbelievable. So what's he really saying? Can he really be saying that? That it's like this magical thing, you put it on? He seems to be saying that this is the hope. That this is what we would really wish for. That when a person puts on tefillin, this is the impact it should have. Does it always have this impact? Halavai. You ever go into a high school minyan while the boys are davening? Doesn't always have the impact of wearing it. So it could be because it also needs to be on, but it doesn't always have the desired result. It's like when we write, I'll give you from the other side, from the teacher side, when you write like report card comments, if you have nothing nice to say, you do more of a prophetic one, I can see that he will become, that he will be, instead of what he is, because he described what he is, and then it's depressing. So, you get more prophetic about what's going to become. So that's what the Rambam is describing. This is what will be, this is what we hope for. Okay, so tefillin can have this powerful impact. It should be treated this way. Lefichach, tzarech adam l'shtadeh liyoson alav kol hayom. Therefore, a person should try that it should be on him all day. Shemitzvasan kachi. Because that's the mitzvah. That's a very striking formulation. That phrase right there. What's striking about that formulation? What do you mean? The Rambam says you have to wear tefillin all day. That's it. You see, he just said mitzvah san kachi, the mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day. No, there's something missing over there. What's missing over there? What's wrong with that formulation?
Lishtadel.
Right? Does the Rambam write, it's a really good idea. Try your best to eat matzah on Pesach. Try your best. Just give it your best shot. That's not the mitzvah. Is not give it your best shot. The mitzvah is eat matzah. How much? A kazayis. Make sure you get it down. I don't like matzah. I don't care. Eat it. Right? There's no mitzvah l'shtadel. And all of a sudden over here, try. That you should have, and also l'fichach. What does one have to do with the other? And let's say tefillin were not so holy and life-altering and turn you magically into Yirei Shamayim and none of and all that stuff. Let's say it were just a plain mitzvah that had no impact on you whatsoever. Like, I don't know, I mean, every mitzvah has an impact, but it was just a vanilla plain mitzvah. It's just something that God said you're supposed to do. That's all it is. Then the mitzvah would be different? Then you wouldn't have to try? Then you wouldn't have to do the mitzvah. You see what the Rambam's trying to do over here? He's trying to tell us there's no chiyuv gomer to wear it all day. You can't say it's an absolute chiyuv to have tefillin all day. What's your chiyuv? To recognize what tefillin mean, and through that recognition, to have the proper chavivos for the mitzvah. To express a proper love for that mitzvah. You express that love because you know how special these things are. The way you treat your tefillin, the frequency with which you wear them, the length of time that you wear them, The mindset you have when you're wearing them should be a reflection of what they are, of how holy they are. That's your mitzvah. How often does that translate to? It can't be that it's rega echad b'chol yom. That doesn't suffice. That's not a reflection of what we are. It can't be kol yom either that it's a chiyuv, because it's not feasible for everyone to have it kol yom. From the fact that he only says because you'll be an anav and you're a shemayim, that's why you should wear it constantly. Sounds like it's not really a formal obligation. Also, you know, the Gemara makes a big deal, and the Rambam makes a big deal. Amru alav al Rav, Talmidu shel Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that they said about Rav, the Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, shekol yomav l'ru'u shalach arba amos b'lo Torah b'lo tzitzah b'lo tefillin. Something amazing about him. In his whole life, he never went 4 amos without Torah, without tzitzah, without tefillin. So you're going to tell me that's a chiyuv? Is it a chiyuv to never go 4 amos without tzitzis? Is it a chiyuv to never go 4 amos in your life without tzitzis? Absolutely not a chiyuv. Why is that absolutely not a chiyuv? Is it a chiyuv to ever wear tzitzis? For real. I mean, now that you're post-Israel, okay? Is it a chiyuv to ever wear tzitzis? We can talk about it. Not really. If you're wearing a beggar, a dal kafos, you have a chiyuv to wear tzitzis. It's a great thing. You're supposed to. And why would you not want to do a mitzvah, right? Is it a chiyuv to not go 4 amos without Torah? No, I'd say that's a chiyuv in a person's life. But what the Rambam's describing is the kind of relationship we're supposed to have with the mitzvah. A further raya. The Rambam writes that someone who's mitzta'er, or is ein daitum yushevus alav, he's for tumult, he's not thinking straight, he's not focused, doesn't have to wear tefillin, he's pater from tefillin. Now generally by mitzvahs, let's say, you know, it's Pesach time and the baseball season just started, and, you know, I don't know, now the Mets are good, but somewhat good. But it used to be that, like, you know, by then they're already 6 games out, and it's still April, and, like, it's like ruining your whole summer now, because now you have nothing to look forward to, because I'm just not feeling matzah. I can't. I'm just not in the mood for matzah. So what do we tell you? I didn't ask you to be in the mood for matzah. You just have to eat matzah. There's no mitzvah. What's mitzvah apart from? Sukkah. It's the only one. You know the famous story of the Rav Chaim Ozer, I think it was? Someone went to visit Rav Chaim Eizer, and on Sukkot time, Rav Chaim Eizer said, "Look, I'm a chola, I'm old, I can't be in the sukkah right now. So if you want to have a snack, you just traveled. Here, take this down to the sukkah, you'll go down to the sukkah." And the person went down to eat it in the sukkah. And 2 minutes later, Rav Chaim Eizer is schlepping down, and they see Rav Chaim Eizer shows up in the sukkah. And the guy says, "I thought you said you were too old and you're mitzvah." And he says, "Yeah, mitzvah is pata from sukkah, but mitzvah is not pata from achnas sorchen." Says, "No, the mitzvah, the mitzvah is pater from, so I gotta be here midin achnas sorchen." Okay, right? Because mitzvah is chayv in every mitzvah. So mitzvah is all of a sudden pater from tefillin. Expression. Calm yourself down and put it on. But if the mitzvah is to show a chib of mitzvah, and a person's incapable of building that chib of mitzvah, that love for the mitzvah at that time, well then maybe that itself is the patur. And there are rayos from other Rishonim as well, that this idea exists. For example, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us that there are shiva menudin l'shamayim. This is verse number 6. There are 7 people that are menudin l'shamayim, that's like Hashem puts them in cherim. Yehudi shein lo isha, yesh lo isha vein lo banim, someone who doesn't have a wife, or he has a wife, doesn't have children. Someone who doesn't have tefillin berosho, tefillin bezro, tzitzis bebigdo, mezuzah bepischo, doesn't have any of the Jewish, accoutrements that a person would be expected to have, tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah, none of that stuff. Says Tosfos, what kind of person is this? He says, first of all, when it comes to not having children, it has to be that it's a person who hasn't tried, that has been negligent in not having children. Son, you know, a person tries their best, and unfortunately they haven't been blessed with children. You're not going to say that Akadosh Baruch Hu is putting him in a chayrim. He's doing his best. And then he says, and what about tefillin? Someone who doesn't have tefillin, barosh, or bezor, tzitz, bebigdo. Mayri b'sheyesh lo ve'inu manicha. It's talking about someone who does have, he just doesn't wear them. Because if he doesn't have, what do you want from him? But it's interesting. Notice, Tosos is bothered why you would call someone a poshea for not wearing tefillin, and he's not as bothered why you would call someone a poshea for not having children. Right? He's more bothered by the tefillin part. He breaks it up as separate categories. And he says, oh, the reason he's a poshea is because he has them right there and he hasn't done anything about it. Or maybe he doesn't have them, but we expect you to love them enough to want them. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael to be Mekayim the mitzvah Satilius Baritz, that showed a certain love of the mitzvah. What's Tosfos telling us? That the mitzvah of tefillin is to show that you're interested, is to show a love for the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And therefore, the frequency with which you do the mitzvah should reflect exactly that. There are more rayas. We're going to run out of time in a minute or two, so there are more rayas, but you take a look, there's a Ritva, sounds this way as well, when he talks about someone who's Osik B'Torah being Patur from Tefillin. He suggests that that when you're learning Torah, you'll have a Hesach Hadas, you're not going to be focused on the Tefillin. But how does all this answer the Hesach Hadas problem? Right, so what did we say? So now we have Hesach Hadas, we're knowing not to wear Tefillin. So what did we ask? If it's a mitzvah daraisa to wear tefillin all day long, so what do you mean? Because I don't feel like we're able to do it anymore, so we're knowing not to. We can't do that. You can't get rid of a mitzvah daraisa. But in light of this understanding of tefillin, there's no mitzvah daraisa to wear them all day long. There's a mitzvah daraisa to wear them to the best of our ability. If at any point we judge that the best of our ability is to wear them for the 18 minutes of shachris, then that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to show that they're a beloved thing to us, that there's something that we value and something that we cherish and something that we care about. And if the way we show how much we cherish and we care about them is that we wouldn't disrespect them to wear them at a time where we're involved in talks about business and other things and things that are sichas chulin and worse, well then that is the mitzvah d'oraisa. Wear them only in your holy moments. Only during Kriya Shema, only during tefillah. It's not that we're being mevatel a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's how to do the mitzvah d'oraisa. You may have other mitzvahs that fit this category. Zechiras Amalek. How often do you have to... Torah doesn't say. Torah just says, remember what Amalek did to you. How often do you have to do that? So Sefer HaChinuch says once a year. Where does he get once a year from? I don't know. It could be that that's different because there's an Isra of Lo Sishkach that you're not allowed to forget. And Chazal understand that it takes 12 months to forget something. So it could be that that has to be once a year to fulfill Lo Sishkach. You know, that's why Maram Shik writes in his Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Tafresh Gimel, Maram Shik has, if you ever buy a volume of Shalosh Tshuvos Maram Shik, he's got two volumes of Tshuvos and one volume of like a Minchas Chinuch type of Sefer. And he says that if it's a leap year, then you should do Parsha Zachar more than once, because it's going to be 13 months between one and the next, and it's really a 12-month mitzvah. Because a lo tishkach that you forget in 12 months, and you need to. So when you're laying in the summertime, you gotta have you have to have in mind that you want to be mekayim the mitzvah then also by a leap year. An interesting Maram Shik. But it could be that Zechiras Amalek is different. Minchas Chinuch says it's a mitzvah tmidus. That's also very hard to assume. That it's constantly, all day, you're supposed to be talking Amalek, 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 Amalek. Very, very hard. Like Emunah b'Hashem. I'm always remembering Amalek. That's a pretty depressing life. But it could be that it's a similar type of mitzvah. Your mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek should reflect the proper attitude toward Amalek. Should reflect an understanding of what Amalek means, and it should reflect an understanding of how deep of an impact they have in Klal Yisrael, and they potentially could have had in Klal Yisrael. So this is the Mahalich that Rav Asher Weiss suggests. If you look at the piece, he has a lot more to say. And he ultimately concludes by showing like a whole array of sources that seem to assume that it's a chiyuv each and every day. And generally speaking, this is not the normal mahalik. The normal mahalik is that either it's a mitzvah once a day, on a darais level, or it's a mitzvah all day. It's just, I thought, an interesting third possibility of what the mitzvah might be. So this just as an introduction, but from tomorrow we'll start sinking our teeth into menachos. But again, Rabbi Marcus will be giving the early shir. I'll be giving a shir during this slot on the Menachos Sugya. Okay.